Hi, I'm Perry, and this is Chemist Corner. Hello, and welcome to Chemist Corner, the program dedicated to helping you become a better creator of cosmetic products. I'm Perry Romanowski. This is day 29 of our series, 30 Days to Become a Better Cosmetic Chemist. In today's program, we're going to talk about the cosmetic industry and specifically the trend of natural cosmetics. As a formulator, you are going to be asked by your marketing group to come up with formulations that can tap into hot trends, and the green marketing trend is hot. Today's program will help show you what people mean when they talk about natural cosmetics and how it affects formulations. You can see the impact of green marketing just by walking down the beauty aisle at your local drugstores or superstores. According to a report by the Kline Group, the natural cosmetic market reached $30 billion globally in 2013. That's over a 10% increase from the year before. In case you are curious, the total worldwide cosmetic market is estimated to be about $450 billion a year as of the recording of this show. The natural cosmetic market represents a significant and growing portion of the market, about 7%, so companies are launching products to go after it. It's important to note, however, that it still represents a relatively small segment of the overall market. That's good news for anyone who wants to launch their own line because the big companies have not yet figured out how to dominate this market like they do the other ones. This market is big enough for a new company to enter and make money, but still small enough for the gigantic companies to mostly avoid it. The natural market has traditionally been one of the realm of small and local brands. Lots of home crafters or brands sold at farmers markets would tout the naturalness of their products. Many of them use fear marketing to convince you that their products are somehow safer than the chemical-laced ones that you can get in the store. This type of marketing can be effective in the natural market, but in reality, fear marketing will only get you so far. Remember, consumers buy products for the benefits they get from them. They won't continue to buy products that don't work, even if they think they're somehow more natural. Natural cosmetics markets has stayed pretty small until the development of Burt's Bees. This brand gained some traction and got distribution beyond the farmers markets. They were able to build it up to a large enough brand that Clorox bought them in 2007 for right around $1 billion. Another natural company that started a little sooner was Tom's of Maine, and they focused on oral care products. They were acquired in 2006 by Colgate-Palmolive for only $100 million. We'll see which of those companies got the better deal, but both of these brands continue to be big players in the natural cosmetic market. Now that you have a sense of the overall natural cosmetic market, let's turn our attention to what we mean by the term natural. The truth is, there's no single definition for the word natural as it applies to personal care products. From a legal standpoint, anyone can pretty much call anything they want natural. It has no legal definition. Folks with booths at farmers markets can advertise their products as natural, but so can the big personal care products companies who use petrochemicals in their formulas. This means that the term natural will have a wide spectrum of definitions in the marketplace, from taken directly from a plant to synthesized in a lab from petrochemicals. The naturalness of all products will fall somewhere on that spectrum. As a formulator, you will have to decide where you want your products to be on that spectrum. Incidentally, the practice of using standard ingredients but calling your product natural is called greenwashing. The dictionary definition of natural is existing in or caused by nature, not made or caused by humankind. As you see what products are on the market, you will see that very few are actually naturally occurring in nature. In the case of most products, mankind had some hand in creating or modifying it, even if starting with something that occurred naturally. When you are creating a natural product, you have to consider the definition of natural that all the important players use. These include regulatory agencies, non-governmental organizations, product marketers, retailers, and ultimately consumers. Of these groups, the most important are regulatory agencies because they can force you to follow specific rules, and consumers because they are the ones ultimately buying your products. So let's see what the regulatory agencies have to say about natural. As you may have figured out, there is very limited regulations when it comes to defining natural. In the U.S., the main regulatory group for cosmetics is the FDA. On the FDA website, you can find language specifically targeted to organic cosmetic products. The FDA specifically says, "The term organic is not defined in either of these laws or the regulations that FDA enforces under their authority. Similarly, they do not define natural either. While the term natural is not regulated by any government agency, the term organic is covered under the USDA National Organic Program. Basically, if you want to use the term organic on your cosmetics products, you are using ingredients derived from agriculture. You'll have to comply with regulations of the USDA. The other main government body that has published regulations about organic cosmetics is the California Department of Health. In the U.S., California tends to lead the way in regulating chemicals in the environment, and they have a whole organic certification program for consumer products, including cosmetics. Incidentally, while I've been focusing on U.S. regulations, it is also the case that around the world, governments have shied away from defining natural. You will not find specific regulations about natural cosmetics in the EU, Canada, Japan, Asia, Australia, or pretty much anywhere else in the world. This may change in the future, but for the moment, governments have been mostly silent on the definition of natural. Since there is no legal definition and this natural market has started to grow and get more attention, it isn't surprising that groups form to create their own definition of natural. The idea that these non-governmental organizations could create an independent standard that could help guide consumers and marketers to know what is really a natural product and what is a greenwash product. In this way, people will be able to feel more confident in the naturalness of their purchases. Of course, anyone can start their own certification group, and the potential for making a lot of money is there, so lots of groups have arisen around the world to certify products as natural. But the main natural standards groups in the US and EU include the NSF, the National Sanitation Foundation, and they have a Made with Organic Personal Care Standards. Then there's the National Products Association, the NPA, and who they have their own specific standards for naturalness. The Environmental Working Group, the EWG, has their EWG Verify program that just started recently. COSMOS, that's COSMOS, this is an allied group of a number of European natural standards. Then NATRU, this is an EU-based group working towards a worldwide harmonized standard for natural. The important thing to know is that these groups have had a hugely influential impact on how consumers and regulators around the world view natural cosmetic products. Most of them restrict the use of ingredients like parabens, petrochemical-based ingredients, formaldehyde, etc. This can really affect how you do your formulation. Although the NGOs provide an independent standard for natural, many brands don't want to give up control or pay the money required to adhere to the standards of these groups. For this reason, a number of cosmetic brands have come up with their own standards. This can be very useful for the brand because it becomes part of their marketing story and their point of differentiation. Another nice benefit of setting your own standard is that there is no certification required, and you don't have to pay another company to restrict the ingredients you use and your methods of manufacturing. Also, if your consumer buys into your brand story, they will accept your definition of natural. A number of brands have been highly successful in coming up with their own standards and convincing their consumers to believe in their standards. If we turn our attention back to the natural cosmetic market, we'll see that there are some brands that have been able to dominate in terms of sales. The top brands from a sales standpoint include Burt's Bees, Aveda, Aveeno, and The Body Shop. They all have yearly sales of over $100 million. After that, the brands get a little smaller, but they still generate tens of millions of dollars a year in sales. It's interesting to note that once a brand gets to a certain size in sales, they become more appealing to giant corporations. As I mentioned, Burt's Bees and Tom's of Maine's were sold to big corporations a few years ago, but other brands like Aveda, Aveeno, and The Body Shop were also acquired by large corporations. If you are thinking of launching your own natural cosmetic product line, eventually selling to one of these giant corporations seems a reasonable exit strategy. Let's look at the story of some of the bigger brands. A Veda makes the promise that at least 50% of everything in their products is from a natural source. Burt's Bees is also concerned with natural, but focuses on sustainability of their ingredients much more heavily. They also mention packaging in their philosophy, where A Veda does not. Marketing companies tend to use what they want and then base their advertising and packaging claims around words that sound good but don't actually mean much, like natural or green. This is why natural is so hard to define. A smaller but popular brand is Say Yes To and Aubrey Organics. Say Yes To defines natural ingredients as those that come from or are made from renewable resources found in nature. This last part of the definition, made from a renewable resource, gives them a lot of leeway in terms of which ingredients they can choose. It is also acceptable to their consumers. Aubrey Organics makes the claim that there is nothing to be found in Aubrey products that does not come from nature. Again, they have a pretty vague definition in that they say the ingredients they use come from nature. This could mean that it starts from nature but can be chemically modified however they want. Marketers will make a definition that best suits their needs while still sounding believable to their consumers. Natural retailers also have some influence on the definition of natural. These companies are particularly important to cosmetic brands because they can tell you what type of ingredients they will allow in their store or not. If you want to sell products through them, you have to play by their rules. This can have a huge impact on how you formulate. Companies like Walmart and Target and Boots in the UK have come up with sustainability standards which require companies to keep track and report on the environmental impact of their products. This can make cosmetic brands rethink the specific ingredients they use in manufacturing their products. The company leading the way in setting natural standards for cosmetics brands, though, is Whole Foods. If you don't know, Whole Foods is a large natural-themed grocery store here in the United States. It has created a list they call their premium body care standards. This is basically a list of ingredients that you cannot use if you want your product in their premium body care section. It is the most restrictive list for personal care, and they limit many of the common ingredients you'll find in most personal care products. So the formulator has to be creative to meet their standards. Keep in mind, their list wasn't put together by scientists, so there are many aspects of the list that don't make sense and are not proper chemical names. As I said, the most important definition of natural is the one your consumers believe. Consumers develop their definition of natural from a variety of sources. First, everyone has their personal beliefs around this. Some might think if it comes from the ground, it's natural, even if it's petroleum-based because oil comes from the ground. Others might be inclined to believe only plant-based products are natural. But the reality is that a lot of people just come up with a definition of natural based on what they are told by marketers, the media, the internet, or even their hairdresser. It's easy to be misled, and the definitions will vary widely based on what kind of content consumers draw on. Ultimately, it's hard for anyone to really know if they are truly getting something they think is natural. For most consumers, you will be able to convince them of your natural story if you have good enough marketing. While there are a number of groups that help shape the definition of natural in the marketplace, ultimately it will be up to you or your company to decide what your definition of natural is. In creating your own definition of natural, you'll have to decide which ingredients you'll use and which ones you'll avoid. You'll also have to decide what standards you have for the way the ingredients are created and processed. Are there some synthetic reactions you'll accept and others you won't? You'll also have to decide whether the source of the raw materials is important to your definition and what sources are acceptable. One thing to consider is the safety profile of an ingredient and the environmental impact it has when it is both produced and used. There are some natural sunscreens that have an excellent safety profile, but they build up in the environment and have been shown to damage coral reefs. If this is an important issue to you, you'll want to make sure you avoid these types of ingredients. I'll finish this section of the show by going through some of the buzzwords and concepts that are associated with the naturals market. Fair trade. The term fair trade simply means that the ingredients used were bought from a place where a fair price was paid. Often, this applies to producers in third world countries where wages are extremely low. plant-derived. This refers to ingredients that are obtained from plant-starting materials. This term doesn't mean much because even a small percentage could come from plants, yet this is still a true claim. Carbon neutral. Carbon neutral is often associated with natural along sustainability lines. It just means they planted trees to offset the emission caused by making the product, or didn't release anything into the atmosphere, which would affect climate change. Green. This isn't just a color. Green is a term that could have as many variants as natural, but some define it as simply good for the environment and contains as many natural products as possible. Technically, something could still be green and have some synthetic ingredients. Non-toxic. Non-toxic just means it's not poisonous or toxic for the body. All products really fall under this category because if there is something poisoning people, it would not be on the market. In the U.S., it is illegal to sell an unsafe cosmetic product, or it's illegal to sell a toxic product. In the natural product world, it is common to call this out, though. Renewable or sustainable. Renewable is sort of a part of green in that you use something and replace it 100% by growing something new or making it using non-polluting energy like solar or wind. The term sustainability means essentially the same thing as renewable. Organic. To a chemist, the term organic specifically refers to molecules made of carbon and hydrogen. But alas, in the natural market world, the term organic refers more to the method of farming, which emphasizes the use of more traditional pesticides and traditional farming techniques. Chemical free. This is a laughable claim and shouldn't be used unless you want to make yourself look silly. Everything is a chemical. Water, salt, plant extracts, proteins, natural oils, and are all chemicals. Unless someone has found a way to bottle up a vacuum or spaced in a jar, there are chemicals in your products. In summary, there is no single definition for what makes a product natural. You have many choices when considering what is going to go in your product that you are still going to call natural. You can choose to follow a standard put out by a governmental agency or one by an NGO, or you can follow the lead of another marketer or even adhere to the rules of a retailer you hope to sell your products. Ultimately, it will be up to you to come up with a definition of natural that you can believe in and one that you can get your customers to believe in too. That's the most important part. The best way to do this is to take inspiration from all of these sources and listen to your consumer to come up with your own unique vision of what you consider natural.
Today's challenge.
For today's challenge, I want you to look through some of the brands in the natural cosmetic market and see if you can figure out what qualifies as natural for them. Go to their website and look at their background information and story. Also, look at their product offerings and see if the ingredient list fits in with their natural positioning. Is the brand simply a greenwashing brand, or do they really try to make an effort to be, quote, natural? When you finish, go to the show notes for this program and report on what you found. I'm curious to see what you think of all the different natural products and positionings out there. And be sure to leave a link to the brand that you looked at in the show notes. It'd be interesting to see what everyone else thinks as natural. Well, that's today's program. Thank you so much for listening. On tomorrow's program, we are going to finish up the series with a discussion about your cosmetic science career and what you can do to ensure that you stand out and succeed. If you have found this series helpful, please go to the comments section of the show notes and leave a comment. Also, please share it with your friends and colleagues or anyone else you think might be interested. As always, don't forget to subscribe to us in iTunes or any other podcast playing service that you use, and it would be really helpful if you leave a review of us in iTunes. That will help other people find the show. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter, we're at Chemist Corner, and like us on Facebook. Additionally, we have a cosmetic science forum, and I encourage everyone to join that. It's free to join, and you can participate in discussions about cosmetic formulating and get questions answered from cosmetic chemists around the world. Just go to chemistscorner.com/cosmeticsciencetalk. Thanks again for listening. I'm Perry Romanowski. Now, go make a difference.